Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
What's going on, everyone? Matt Bove following the Bills 23-20 loss here in Houston. If you are watching the video, I'm recording this where the Texans do their press conferences, just a random corner, basically. If you're listening, you're probably wondering what the heck happened in that game that we just watched. That's a great question. I am still trying to figure that out myself. There are so many things to get to specifically with this game, but I feel like we should probably work our way backwards, start at the end of the game, and then work our way towards the beginning of the game. A whole lot of bad to talk about. The end of the game is going to be something we talk about for the next several days, probably the next several months, depending on how the season plays out. And to me, it was a complete failure from the coaching staff. I think that they handed this game to the Texans because of their inability to have a better plan at the end of this game. And once again, in a crucial moment, this coaching staff did not have the answers that the Bills needed. Now, what I say, I have no issue with them being aggressive. Given the circumstance, throwing the ball is not the worst idea, especially on second and third down, because if you do get a first down, then you are going to overtime. I understand that. My issue is throwing it on first down. My issue is the plays that were called, super low percentage plays. To me, that's the issue. If you are going to throw the ball, they need to be underneath routes. They need to be little dump-offs. They need to be something that keeps the clock running, but also has a very high percentage of being completed. None of the plays the Bills did were high percentage plays. They had a deep shot to Mac Collins. That was a terrible idea. They had the 50-50 ball to Keon Coleman that he was called offensive pass interference on. And then they had the ball on third down where they throw it to Curtis Samuel. It was a bad throw, but also looked like he slipped a little bit. It was just a really ugly way to end the game. And then, of course, the Bills, they punt it back to the Texans with enough time for Houston to get a couple yards, get into field goal range, and then they drill a 59-yarder. Kudos to their kicker. It's not an easy kick to make, but I don't really know anybody inside the stadium that didn't think this guy was going to make it. He's one of the best kickers in the NFL. The distance inside was not at all a question. And just the Bills, it felt like the Texans and their inability to close out a game gift-wrapped the Bills a chance in a game that they had no business in, and I think that's what makes this so ultimately frustrating if you are a fan of this team. Josh Allen completed 9 of 30 passes, and the Bills still had a chance to win the game, but because of a poor plan and poor execution at the end of the game, they gave that plan they gave that opportunity right back to the Texans. The Texans, within their own right, like on 3rd and 5, they should have just been handing the ball off. If you don't get any yards, the clock runs, you kick a super deep field goal right at the end, and then if you miss it, then you're going to overtime. Instead, they take the intentional grounding penalty. So it's almost like these teams were trying to figure out a way to hand the game over to the other team, and the Bills somehow made the more egregious mistake after that's how Houston ended their game, and they still get the win. So that, to me, is the talk of this game, and Sean McDermott is going to get a ton of criticism. To his credit, he said, it's my fault. I need to be better. I think Joe Brady deserves a lot of criticism here for the plays that they dialed up. I just feel like they were relying on Josh trying to do something crazy in a game where he wasn't able to do anything crazy. I think there should have been some easy answers for him, and that has not been the case for the offense in general. We can talk more about that in a little bit. And then Josh Allen deserves some of the blame, too. He did not execute well at all in this game. It was the worst completion percentage he has ever had in an NFL game. 9 of 30 is just despicable. So that's the end of the game, and you can be as critical as you want about the way that this team played at the end, because they really, I don't want to say they gift-wrapped it to the Texans, because it felt like the Texans gift-wrapped it to them just minutes earlier, but they could have avoided this. And then we're talking about just the inability of the offense to have any success. If you go in overtime and the Texans score, or you get the ball in overtime and you can't score, who knows if they would have even been able to. But to just not even give yourself a chance when you have Josh Allen, whether you're not somebody who believes in momentum, in the second half, the Bills scored 17 unanswered points until the Texans were able to kick the game-winning field goal. So it felt like the Bills were playing much better football across the board in the second half. Defensively, to their credit, after the first half, they were just getting torched. They really locked up in the second half. They made a couple big splash plays. Terrell Bernard makes the big interception. Smoot forces the fumble. That gives the Bills the field goal to tie the game at 20. Also, there's the Josh Allen injury mixed into all of this. Josh Allen gets hit hard. His head hits the ground hard. Now, from my vantage point in the press box, he gets down. He's down. All of his teammates are around him. After, let's say, 30 to 40 seconds, he gets up. He goes over to the sideline. After he's on the sideline, I'm sure the NFL buzzes down like, hey, this has got to be a check for concussion. He needs to go be evaluated. He goes into the blue medical tent. A few plays later is when they force the fumble that gives the Bills the ball at their 15. From what I saw, it looked like Josh tried to run out the minute that that play happened to be back on the field. The medical people, I'm sure, in that blue tent were like, whoa, you have not been cleared yet. You need to come back in here. That's just the competitor in him. Like, I need to get back out there. Eventually, he only missed one play. They handed it to James Cook. He doesn't really get anything. Then they throw the pass to James Cook where he almost made the spectacular catch. His elbow came out just outside. And then on third down, they did not have any answers. It was just kind of the perfect way to explain the offense today, where there was nothing that they just had like an easy button for. That offense stunk today. It was partially Josh. It was partially Joe Brady. It was partially the wide receivers. I want to talk more about that. But, you know, that was an opportunity for the Bills starting there to take the lead in this game. And instead, they had to settle for a field goal. And you wonder how this game is different if they go up 24-20. And then at the end of the game, it's a completely different scenario. They're trying to just, you know, keep the Texans out of the end zone. Who knows how it would have played out? I'm sure the Josh Allen injury made that a bit more complicated because he misses the first play. And then he kind of just gets thrown into it. And then, I mean, he was 9 of 30 in this game. It's not like a guarantee that he would have been able to make a play if he was even out there for the first play. The other thing that I have with Joe Brady, I know I'm rambling right now, but this is just right after the game, so I figure I'm just kind of pouring my heart out here. Way too predictable. Unbelievably predictable. And I know that they did not want to abandon the run, and they had a lot of success with James Cook. But my goodness, every time the Bills offense touched the ball, it was a James Cook handoff that felt like it went for 1 or 2 yards on first down, and then they were playing behind the sticks. And then on third down, they were just horrendous. They could not get anything going. So the 9 of 30 for Josh Allen is probably the number that is the most drastic to anybody who is looking at a box score of this game and going, what the heck happened? The number that's even crazier to me, though, is that on targets to wide receivers, he was 4 of 18. That is simply abysmal. Now, once again, he deserves some of the blame. But his playmakers were not giving him nearly enough help in this game. I look at several missed opportunities that should have been a better play by the receiver, also a better throw by Josh Allen. The Mac Collins deep ball is the one that I think immediately jumps out. A little overthrown from Allen. A little bit. But then I'm looking at the pictures after the game. It hits Mac Collins' hands. It would have been such a hard ball to catch. He's adjusting midair. It looks like he loses it for a second up in the sky, in the dome, because there's like the skylights at the top of the zone, the dome. A play a top-end wide receiver makes. Mac Collins is not that. The Bills do not have one of those currently on their roster. Then there's the other play on third down where Josh is rolling out to his side, throws it across his body to Mac Collins. Another poorly thrown ball. But given what he's doing, that's one of those ones where you just need your receiver to go down and make that catch. That extends a drive. Those are two missed opportunities with Mac Collins. I believe, I don't have the box score up in front of me, that Mac Collins was once again the most targeted wide receiver. That is a very serious issue. I know he is on the field the most because of his run blocking ability, and he made a fantastic block on the Keon Coleman touchdown. So he does deserve some credit for that. But they do not have anybody that is striking fear in an opponent. Without Khalil Shakir, man, did they miss him. Khalil Shakir's value has never been more apparent until a game like this where they just did not have any answers. So Mac Collins is the one where there were the big missed opportunity plays. Curtis Samuel is the one where I have no idea why this is going so south. Every time they try and get the ball to Curtis Samuel, it feels like it doesn't work or something really bad happens, whether it's a loss of downs or it's the trick play from last week, with them trying to force Curtis Samuel into this offense, they have absolutely no answers. They need to figure something out there. MVS has a chance to make a contested. It would have been a hard catch. The coverage was good on third down. It hits his hands. Ball gets, you know, swatted out. Stingy made the play. I'm just rambling here. Like, he's got to bring that one in. And then, what are the other receivers? Hollins, Samuel, MVS. Oh, and Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman has the touchdown to his credit. Nice play, turn up ability. He also had the slants that just hits him in the back of the head, the miscommunication. He had one down the sideline where Allen just throws a bad ball, doesn't even give Coleman a chance to make a catch there, so he can't bring that in. So once again, just a really uninspiring day for the wide receivers. If I am Brandon Bean and I see what's going on in the AFC right now, which is a lot of lackluster play, even after the Bills' last two losses, they are still very much in the mix for obviously a playoff spot, but potentially even one of the higher seeds in the AFC. I think they have to go get a wide receiver. I don't love the Devontae Adams fit because of what it would cost, because of how much he makes, because of just the type of player that they're looking for. He would be the most talented guy the Bills could add. I get that, but it would cost a lot, and it would really be a win-now move. I feel like there are other options that would be better for the Bills that would not cost them as much. Do the Browns want to move on from Amari Cooper because their season seems like it's spiraling out of control? He'd be a great fit for the Bills. Do the Titans want to move on from DeAndre Hopkins as they kind of shift their focus to the future, or are they so focused on trying to make Will Levis work that they're not going to move on from one of his main weapons? There's a couple fun options out there I've seen thrown around, like would Christian Watson potentially be available from the Packers, or Jenna, are we leaving? I'm recording the podcast, but I'm literally just going to ask you if we're leaving right now.
We're not leaving.
Okay. All right. No, you're fine. So that's what we're doing right now. We're figuring out when we're leaving the stadium. So that's a fun one. The Christian Watson idea is fun. There's probably a name available on the market that I do not know about, but Brandon Bean, that he has to do his due diligence to figure out, is there somebody who is better available, who could make this team better because they absolutely need it? The last thing I'll say, so this is just a quick episode. I just want to do something quick here. If you are a glass half full person, you can take away this game and say, listen, flush it, flush the last two. Even with these two losses, you're still in first place in the AFC East. The division does not look super super difficult, right? The Jets lose in London today to the Vikings. The Dolphins, we have no idea what's going to happen with their quarterback situation. The Patriots lose today. So they are still in control of their own destiny. And if they can beat the Jets coming up next week, you give yourself an even greater buffer moving forward. That's the glass half full approach. The negative approach is that this team does not have enough playmakers on either side of the ball. They're still really banged up. They still have a problem at safety, a big problem at safety. It got better in the second half, but that is a really weakness, a big weakness for the Bills that the Texans attacked, right? Like on the deep Nico Collins touchdown before he gets hurt. Rasul Douglas turns around and throws his hands up because he thinks he's getting help from Cole Bishop. He's not. They were taking bad angles. I've seen better angles on a circle than some of the angles the safeties were taking on plays today. They need to figure something out there. The good news, though, Terrell Bernard looked good. Taron Johnson should be back soon. We do not know the extent of the Ed Oliver injury. You would imagine that he's back within a couple weeks. It's a hamstring injury, so we don't really know the outlook on that. They're really banged up. They will get healthier. That will help them. But still, just not enough dynamic playmakers on both sides of the ball. This is a really ugly loss for the Bills that didn't have to be. It could have been a really ugly win. And sometimes good teams just find ways to win. The Bills had an opportunity to do that today, and they still could not pull out the W. So they lose in Houston, 23-20, the final. As you just heard me, I'm going to catch an Uber back to my hotel. Got an early flight. Sal will do another one of these mini episodes for you sometime soon. He is traveling back to Buffalo now. So I just wanted to get something up quick, just an additional little post-game podcast for you. Thank you, as always, for watching, for listening. We will talk to you guys soon. We appreciate everybody who watches and listens. And the Bills now 3-2 following their 23-20 loss to the Houston Texans.